It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
Joining us today on California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn, with Dan Berger and Barry Herbst, it's Foppiano, right?
Correct. Clarification.
Yep. Pete Foppiano, but Foppiano is probably the correct Italian pronunciation.
That's our pronunciation.
Yes. All right.
Doesn't depend what part of the family you're in or anything.
Yeah, get those mics up there, Joe.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. I'm going to let Dan Berger introduce our guest.
Well, we have two folks who are heart and soul of the Foppiano Winery. It's Rob McNeil, the general manager, and Paul Foppiano, who does most of the vineyard work and a bunch of other stuff. You can tell us what you do.
It's our president.
Yeah, the president and so forth.
Yeah, I do a little bit of everything. Yeah. It depends what hat I put on in the morning. You know, it might be on a tractor, might be helping Nova in the winery. The other day I was unloading a truck helping Nova out. You know, we're a small team, and we do it as a team.
Give us the history of this winery. You guys have been around quite a while.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit a few years ago, I know, when we met, and you know, we've been around since 1896, and I'm fifth generation to, you know.
Yeah, I think I was there when you first opened that tasting room in the 1800s.
Yeah. You helped lay the bricks. That's right. But, you know, we've evolved over time from more of a bulk winery and generic whites and reds to premium Russian River varietals, Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Zinfandel, Petite Syrah, yeah. You know, really focused on some core wines. And we're going to get to taste a few of those today. So
Dan Berger almost spilled his first glass of wine in 3 years.
We need the Lazy Susan. We're still waiting for that.
We're still waiting for the Lazy Susan.
There's only one solution to that. You know what that is? Drink it.
Yeah. Don't spill it. Drink it.
Exactly.
So, Paul, again, first vintage was?
First vintage that my grandfather
made. In the modern era.
In the modern era would have been upon the repeal of Prohibition when he restarted the winery again. Him and with the help of his two sisters and his mother, and he actually crushed grapes the year before because they knew if Roosevelt got elected that Prohibition was going to get repealed. And so he actually had product in tank
ready
to go. Yeah.
Smart. You gotta
love
that.
It was a 1932 vintage?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. You didn't bring that today, did you?
Well, it's a little oxidized.
Rob, talk about your experience and your job with Foppiano.
My primary responsibility really is to be an enabler for the team. So
I like that.
I'm the general enabler, I suppose. So it's just to connect folks, help enable people to do what they do best. And we have an excellent winemaker, so I support him in terms of making sure that he's got equipment that he needs, and I fill in gaps.
That's one of the secrets to this winery's latest news would be Nova Peril is the winemaker. And
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about where Nova came from and when he showed up.
He's only been your winemaker for a few years, right? Three years?
Yes.
Yeah, we're actually just getting into some of his true vintages that he started. He started all the way through. Nova started his career out of college from Cal Poly at Mount Eden in the Santa Cruz Mountains. And was an assistant there. And then he moved on to Dry Creek Winery in Dry Creek Valley and was an assistant there. And then we went and nabbed him. And brought him in, and he's been a great fit. He's a great team player, and he's, as I tell people when I'm out in the market, he's just scratching the surface of his capabilities. And every vintage, you can see him just graduating as a winemaker, and it's really neat to watch him do that with our firm.
And the evolution of the last 4 years has just been startling. These wines have just risen to the top. They're terrific. They seem to be age-worthy. They seem to have loads of character and better balance than I think I've ever seen. Out of the other wines that were made by Bill Regan, he's a talented guy. Was unfortunate he passed away recently. But what a great winemaker he was for the age-worthiness that you built into those wines.
Absolutely.
Steve, the guys brought a 1981 today, so we can drink an 81.
We have a special wine.
Are you kidding?
Wow. We can
81.
We can speak and think to Bill because he was a wonderful person.
Great guy.
And it is a shame that he's no longer with us.
Yeah, this is a fabulous wine.
How long was he with Fopium?
27.
I want to say I was just shy of 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, because he took over the winemaking from my father.
But Nova has been a winemaker for, what, 10 years or something?
Yeah, he was an assistant until he came to us. But he had just enough experience under his belt where he knew how to the system. And then now he's just getting so going with our estate fruit that it's every vintage you can see. I mean, this Sauv Blanc that we're tasting right now is just spectacular.
It's beautiful.
You know, and it comes
nice
off
wine.
Of some real old vineyards that were planted in the early 70s.
Some of the oldest Sauvignon Blanc vines in the county.
Yeah, that's
really?
What we're kind of finding out now. Because a lot of
early 70s?
Things, old vine Sauvignon Blanc isn't really known for it, you know, so we're finding out that it is that. As far as I know from my grandfather, that it was an old Christian Brothers brandy clone.
Really?
Is what it was. And it was planted so my dad could make Sonoma White Burgundy. Let's be honest. Sauvignon Blanc and French Columbard.
Right.
A little bit of Chardonnay in there to add a little fruit to it.
So, Dan... Your thoughts on this Sauv Blanc?
I think this Sauvignon Blanc is spectacular. It was the best white wine of the wine competition that we run every year. Gold medal, unanimous. It was easily the most interesting wine that we had because after the flight was all over with, I noticed that the glasses were all empty. Winemakers typically don't drink these wines. They sip them and spit them out. They drank them all. This one's
nice.
Gone.
Nice.
Yeah, this was really a fun wine to have in that competition. And I think when you taste a wine like this, you notice that there's a soil difference or a regional difference. This one's got a lot of spice characteristics, which I kind of liken to a little bit of fennel. Or kiwi, or even a little bit of both, a little bit of lime. But the lime, kiwi, and fennel all together give you a complexity that you don't see in too many Sauvignon Blancs.
And Barry, Bottle Barn with Fopiano?
Yeah, we've got Sauv Blanc and Petit Sirah, I think, are the two core.
Yeah, and I think Lot 96 is there, too.
Yeah, that's the biggest seller, actually, in the group.
Yeah,
great value.
Point. Sure.
And that's a Pinot?
It's a Petit Sirah.
Right.
Thanks, Barry.
Keep going.
Talk about Petit Sirah, because we don't taste a lot of it on Wednesdays.
It's
we don't see them.
It's kind of.
I agree. I have a friend who started this thing called P.S. I Love You.
Right.
Petit Sirah.
Yeah.
Joe Diaz.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think they get good.
Yeah, we had the first ones at our winery. The first five were at our place.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We were the founding family of that when Joe was working for us.
So what? Why isn't Petit Sirah maybe more famous, more...
People are a little scared of it. It's got a reputation as being kind of gnarly, big, heavy, monstrous, teeth-staining. But they're not all that way, and they're really figuring it out now. I think the longer that people like Fopiano have worked with it, the wines have rounded out. They've become more complex, and they certainly age great.
Oh, So you can age these things for 20 years and still come back and say, we're going to have the 81 today a little later in the show. This we had it last week. It's fabulous.
For somebody like Dan, it's perfect.
You know, it's Dan, lay it down, burger.
But it's not just for lay it down people. People, you can drink it young, too, from the right people.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, this Sauvignon Blanc is great.
Thank you.
Super refreshing.
Yes, it is.
It's just...
And since our AC went out, and I can't stand being warm...
It's working.
Yeah, this helps, at least.
It's a refresher.
I feel like I'm at the pool, and I'm sweating, and, look, some Fopiano Sauvignon Blanc. I'm better now.
Delicious.
It works.
Okay, Joseph, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Paul Fopiano is here. Rob McNeil, both from Fopiano Vineyards. Dan Berger, and, of course, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, Barry Herbst. This is California Wine Country. I got to remind you to go to any great site that features wonderful podcasts, or you can go to calwinecountry.com and hear every episode. And make sure that you sign up for the
subscription.
Thank you. I have to turn it over to him every week. I can't remember this. So subscribe, okay? California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, is here. Dan Berger, my co-host every week. And today, Paul Fopiano and Rob McNeil from Fopiano Vineyards. Wow. What was it? 1896 it started?
Yeah. Paul's great-great-grandfather.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I forget, it's been a while since you've been in, Paul, but you and the winery, did you leave, get out of college or something, and go do something else?
I did. I went and got some experience, some outside experience. I worked for the DeMosny family and ran Saucel Vineyards.
Oh.
For Saucel Ranch, and they had that work for Ed.
But you've been in the wine business all that time.
Yeah, went out and got some outside experience.
You didn't work, as an internet tech or anything and then come back to the family.
No, that would lead to bad things. Me and the television with the typewriter below it, we don't get along very well.
This is a man with one of the greatest beards in the U.S., not just Sonoma County. How long has it taken you to grow that son of a bitch?
It's probably got 7 years on it now, I think.
Wow.
That's right.
Oh, he just pulled the bottom out of his shirt. Have you ever gone for it? Because they have these beard awards.
Well, everybody tells me I should do that contest in Petaluma. I need to look into it and see what it is. I think it's coming up pretty soon in the fall.
Holy crap. We'll get some photos when we're done.
Check it out.
Wow. I haven't seen it in a couple
years. Last time you saw it, it was probably quite a bit shorter.
Yeah.
That people should come by Fopiano not only to taste the wines, but to see the beard. Yeah.
Come for the wine, stay for the beard.
I said if I ever cut it off, I'm going to frame it and put it up in the tasting room.
Oh, man. That is so cool. Okay. We're switching to one of the wines on special this week at Bottle Barn. I'll turn it over to Barry Herbst. It's Domaine, what?
Favely.
Favely.
Yeah. A long-established family in Burgundy.
And what is Montagny?
Montagny is a village. It's a group of villages just kind of south of where the real heavy-hitter white Burgundies like Meursault and Pouligny-Montrachet are made, near Mercurey in the Cote Chalonis.
But we would call this a
Montagny,
Chard?
It's 100% Chardonnay.
Really?
It's still part of the...
They don't call it Chardonnay.
No. They never put... I shouldn't say never, but almost never put the grapes on the label in
when
Burgundy.
You see the name of the grape on the label in a famous French district, that means that it's leftovers.
It's been made for the U.S. market.
Send it to the Yankees.
Yeah, and that's exactly
Sacre
what it
bleu.
Is.
Yeah. I wouldn't drink this. Send it to America. Wow, this is pretty amazing. What's this go for at Bottle Bar?
It is, normally it sells in the 40, 45 range. We're selling for $19.99 now.
Jeez.
This is a really classy wine. Nice. It really shows the elegance of white Burgundy. It has all the flavors of Chardonnay, but it doesn't have the overt buttery components.
Mm-hmm.
It's really built for the dinner table. It's gorgeous.
A little more minerality, a little more acid than we generally get here.
That makes it a good food wine.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Rob, thoughts on this? I assume that's in your glass.
I love it. I don't get to drink this wine very often at all.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying the balance and the minerality that Dan was talking about and the acidity. And that's one of the keys for a food wine is the wine should have some acid to be able to, you know, blend with acidic dishes, salty dishes, et cetera.
Yeah. And you don't see white Burgundy prices below $20 almost ever. Quality wine like
this. It's pretty rare nowadays.
This thing's a great value.
Yeah.
Big special at Bottle Barn this week. Check it out. Domaine.
And for a good vintage, 14.
Yeah, and this will, 14. You know, it's got some age, which is nice. It's helped the development, but
still
it's another 3 or 4 years easily. It would continue to get better, I think.
So. Yeah, this wine's fun.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I like it.
Yeah.
Of course, Stevie likes most of these shards, no matter whether they're French or here. Okay, so talk about the tasting room at Fopiano.
Tasting room, okay. We are located just south of Healdsburg on the old Redwood Highway. We're 5 minutes from the square of Healdsburg.
Oh. Right.
And so we're just south of the freeway, first Healdsburg exit. Go left rather than right into Healdsburg. And it's a nice visit. We just built a brand new tasting deck on our back room and back of the building where you can overlook our Russian River Estate vineyards because we do have 115 acres of our own grapes, and this is where our wines come from. And what's fun is that there's this historical perspective because we have old pictures of the winery back in the day when it was El Fopiano Wine Company, which we just actually repainted the front of the winery to make it like it, the building looked back in the 30s and 40s.
Cool.
Yeah, which is
like
cool.
That logo was put back to the same as 1937.
Yeah. And, you know, you walk onto the property, and if you just have to look around, and you'll notice old stuff. There's an 1800s barn. There's a 100-year-old fig tree over yonder. And so it's a fun place to just kind of peek around and feel the history. There's an authenticity to the visit, which makes it special, I think.
It's Fopiano.com. Fopiano.com.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with Pete Fapiano, who's filling in for me tomorrow. Dan, let's talk about this.
Well, Petite Sirah is a really wonderful ancient grape. It is long thought of as a grape variety from... so we're going to get into the Pinot Noir first, okay? We'll do the Pinot Noir. But you are actually... This winery is actually located inside Russian River Valley, although it's...
Yeah, very northern tip.
But you're right at the sort of at the edge of Alexander Valley
And across the river strike.
Right, so you have both those. And this is... How long have you been making this particular Pinot Noir?
This Pinot vineyard that most of this comes off of, it's got a Nova tweaks a little bit, but it's most of it was planted in 2001. And it's very road direct specific. It gets no sunlight. We open the canopy up, very slow ripening in those sandier, loamy river soils right down that backs up to the Russian River.
This is delicious. Dan, talk about what I'm getting on the finish, which is I'm having a hard time explaining.
Finish to it. To me, that's one of the nice things about the wine. It's got some succulence, but it's not tannic. It does have it's been aged for most of its life has been in French oak. Well, so it does give you that little bit of faint toast component, which is really charming. And what's really nice is that the acid in the wine is really solid, so it's not a soft and flabby wine. It's actually made to go with food. And what I like about it is it's very, very young, in spite of the fact that it's already 15. I mean, a lot of 16s are already released.
Oh, yeah.
And this one has already got a little bit of bottle bouquet on it, and I think it's going to be a fabulous wine in about three more years. Just gorgeous flavors.
One thing I'm really proud about, all of our wines, but specifically this Pinot, that I think it's very varietally correct. I think a lot of Pinots today get a little out of control and stuff, and I know our wines, we try to keep them. I'm very proud that Nova's...
Well, everyone now, of course, making Pinot, and many Pinots, and there's a lot of competition.
And so it's expensive to buy and grow.
It's
your most expensive grape variety.
They were really getting over the top there for a while, and I think they're starting to reel it in now and doing what you're doing, finding the spots that are cooler, where they're not getting baked all day.
Yep, exactly.
And they're putting different varietals in those warmer spots.
Getting that slower ripening, and I think with that we get a really varietally correct wine, more of an old world style Pinot almost.
Yeah.
This is our black label River's Edge Pinot Noir, available at the visitor center, our tasting room only.
Okay.
And this is a great example of Nova's talent. And
Nova is the winemaker, folks, if you're just joining us.
He really combs the vineyards, the Pinot Noir that we have planted near the Russian River, because our property to the west goes basically to the Russian River, and there's a nice section of Pinot Noir that was planted, and there are, you know, rows and vines that are hand selected and then given extra sorting and French oak and a lot of attention from the winemaker and his team, resulting in what we're tasting.
Yeah,
being in Mount Eden is probably a great place to learn about Pinot. Some of the better Pinots I've ever had from California.
That's one of the reasons we grabbed Nova's, because he had that background. Then coming from Dry Creek, he had the SB and the Zin background. Yeah. His winemaking training really fit what we were moving into, and now
makes a lot of sense.
You can see that in the bottle.
Yeah, and just over 300 cases produced, so that's somewhat limited. Mm-hmm. That's probably the reason it's available only at the tasting room.
Yes,
just released recently.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going back to specials.
We're moving quick here. You're going to have to keep up.
I'm trying. This is another wine on special at Bottled Barn this week. Talk about this one, Bear.
So this was wine of the week, I think this last week in the press demo, or maybe 2 weeks. Chapelet Mountain Cuvée, which is a blend from two counties, Napa and Sonoma.
Oh.
Most of their fruit comes from Napa, and it's north of $50 on up to $220 a bottle.
Jeez.
So this is their value play. We've been carrying this forever since they started making it, which I think is
wonderful.
Probably in the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. And it's really the best of both counties. It gets you a nice structure from Sonoma, a nice backbone to it, but then that really great complex Napa Cabernet fruit. And you know, it's hard to find Cabernet in this price category that's worth anything anymore.
What can
Chapelet's a venerable family.
It's a very solid name.
Since the 60s.
And are they in Napa?
They came into the
Yeah, they're up on Pritchard
Napa
Hill
in the
overlooking like Berryessa.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. mid-60s. And who did they team with in Sonoma?
You know? No, I think they just
bought some fruit
there.
Gotcha.
They or they may even own property there, but I think more than likely they bought the fruit.
And what's the year again?
2016.
16.
It's
very smooth for a 16.
Yeah.
I think that has to do with the blending.
Yeah, this is one of those that does
both counties.
A cab that doesn't slap you in the face.
If you were to buy this wine today, you probably want to stick it in a decanter for a couple of hours because it's got beautiful front fruit, but it doesn't have any development just yet.
Yeah, the tannins kick in pretty quickly. Yeah.
I mean, how long is Dan Lay It Down Burger going to lay it down?
About 10 minutes, I think.
Yeah, the front end is delicious.
I think the structure is gorgeous. I think it'll probably go for 5 to 7 more years easy, and then from that point on, you're on your own because it sort of depends on what you like in wine. This is a really beautiful wine for sooner drinking with some, you know, like a steak or hamburgers or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Tannins are nice and smooth.
Yeah, yeah, they're present, but not they don't run the show. Yeah. They're there, which will help for matching certain foods and then aging. But this, you could drink in a few hours of air will help too, I'm sure.
Okay. We got Labor Day coming up Monday. Barry, anything that you can think of besides the craft beer stuff that is at Bottle Barn and the spirits and everything else? I that's not your gig.
Yeah, outside
or
wine wise. You know, for barbecue, a lot of great Zinfandel out there match, you know, some of those spicier barbecue sauces. Wines from the south of France, Cote de Rhone's great value will match barbecue well if you've got stuff going on the grill. And, of course, Petit Sirah, actually kind of a sleeper, you know, because it's not in fashion. The prices have stayed down. They're not up there with what Pinot Noir and Cabernet are doing, so makes it a great deal and perfect with barbecue. The tannins are there.
Yeah. I would definitely think you would want to put... if you're going to be doing an outdoor event, keep the Petit Sirah cool. If it gets too warm, it's not very pleasant.
You're going to get more alcohol and tannin than wine.
Yeah, keep a nice
just a few degrees
light,
makes
light
a
chill.
Difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a few degrees.
Yeah, yeah, a light show. Yeah. Exactly. Dan, I can't remember because I'm so exhausted and I got 5 days off coming. did I ask you about Petit Sirah? Did you... I know I asked Barry, but...
We're headed in that direction.
Okay.
I think Petit Sirah is a fabulous grape variety, but mainly because it does so well in California. It does grow in France, but in France it's...
Do they call it Petit Sirah?
No, they call it other stuff. It's called Dorif, things like that. And most of those grapes are used in Europe for blending.
Here's
a star. And there are about 90 different Petit Sirah producers now. Now, most of them are not making... you know, the quality level that you're making, but there's still a lot of people making Petit Sirah because it's easy to grow. It resists, it's very tolerant of hot weather, cold weather, whatever. And the nice thing is it's really resistant to rot and some other things. So it's an easy grape to grow, and it does give you lots of color and flavor.
I wish I was resistant to rot.
Join the club.
Paul Fopiano is here from Fopiano Vineyards, Rob McNeil from Fopiano, and, of course, Dan Berger and Barry Herbst. All right. It is California Wine Country. Go to calwinecountry.com to hear every episode or anywhere where great podcasts are offered. And sign up.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Thank you. It's free to subscribe. In fact, if you subscribe, Mike will send you some money. Although he probably blew all his money in London. He's back on Friday night, so who knows. But anyway, it's free to subscribe, and you get every podcast on your phone or tablet or whatever the hell you're using. Paul Fopiano is here with Rob McNeil, both from Fopiano Vineyards. It's California Wine Country with Dan Berger and the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, of course. Barry Herbst. Okay, now what is this, guys?
This is a nice wine.
Yes. No doubt.
This is a Petit Sirah. Yeah.
And it's got a vineyard designate name on it, and it's fabulous wine. Just fabulous. This is
what
a
year
good
is
bottle
this?
Of wine.
This is our newly released 15, which is Nova's first complete vintage. Ooh. And it's our black label, again, available at the tasting room only. And there's a lot of attention that goes into this wine. And this happens to be named after Paul's daughter, sixth generation, who happens to be with us.
Yes, she is the assistant winemaker and in charge of all business at Fobiano.
Exactly.
Hello, dear. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What's your name?
Gianna.
Gianna,
yeah,
course.
This wine's really cool.
Gianna Fobiano?
Yeah, we actually, this was
the I'm changing first. My name to Giona, Gianna Fobiano. I'm Italian, but that's a cool name.
Yeah, this is actually, we named this wine after Gianna because this was the very first release of the black label. We just had the Pinot Noir, but this was the, it came out on its own, was the very first experiment of the black label. So we named it after the, at that time, she was the only sixth generation.
Wow.
Born. And so we
six
named it
after generations.
Yeah. Yep.
Pretty cool.
How old are you, my dear?
I'm 12.
Nice. So am I. Wow, great to meet you. So, are you thinking about getting into the wine world, the wine business?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, 12, who the hell? You know, I mean, come on. You haven't made any hard decisions yet, and that's good. Well, very cool. Okay, this Petit Sirah.
This is what it's really all about. This is where Petit Sirah starts to really show its colors. It's not often considered a grape variety that you want to use a lot of expensive oak barrels to age in, because those oak barrels are a lot of money. They're $1,000 or more.
It's here, really a blending wine in many
it's
ways,
it's a blending
right?
grape, yeah. But here...
A grape, that's,
you know,
what I meant.
Nova found that this particular vineyard gives you such intensity of character. It's not the intensity of the fruit as much as it is the overwhelming complexity of fruit flavors, different fruits. Mm. So you've got Loganberry, Blackberry, Boysenberry. You've got all these different berries, and they're all distinct. So he put 40% of this in new French oak. And this is you don't treat grapes that way unless you know in advance that this is going to be great stuff.
Oh, really?
And it can integrate that oak.
Yeah.
That would be a hard thing to put my head around, is, you know, predicting, okay, this is worth it.
It's very tricky. Winemakers often don't get, they have a lot of sleepless nights before they make that decision, because this is a lot of money to spend on barrels before you realize you suddenly may make the wrong decision and find out you're not going to make your money back on how you made the wine.
Yeah, fruits for real.
Yeah.
He's really tamed the tannins nicely.
The tannin structure is unreal.
Whenever I get this category as a wine judge, I dread it. But if they were all like this, it wouldn't be so.
It's a beautiful wine.
Doing 40 of the heavy duty tannic versions of Petit Sirah is painful. But
so Fopiano, we are Russian River appellated, and so we can make great Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. But being in the northern tip of the Russian River is special, in that it's an area of the Russian River that stays relatively dry during the latter part of the ripening season. And that's perfect for Pinot Noir. Paul referenced earlier that Pinot Noir has thin skins. And the recognition that Petit Sirah can thrive in this vineyard was established in the late, 1800s by his great-great-grandfather. And over the years, this company knows how to make Petit Sirah.
Yeah.
And
if you don't know by now, you may give it up.
Deservedly is a leader.
Right?
And it ages well. Leading into 1981.
Yes.
Okay, we're actually tasting. And what is this again? Another Petit Sirah?
Yeah.
From 1981.
From 1981, it was
I think this is the oldest vintage. We may have had something from the 70s at some point over the years.
Possibly.
I thought you were the only one from the 70s. Oh, sorry.
I wish I was from the 70s.
Yeah, really?
50s, pal.
Yeah. We have experienced a lot of wonderful Petit Sirahs over the years. This is one of the best examples of old Petit Sirah.
And you were just making one at this point, right?
This is a Bill Reagan. This was actually made by...
Fabulous wine. It smells a little bit like a saddle leather. It's got a little of that saddle leather character, but it's a lot of berries, but they're sort of semi-dried berries plus a little bit of fresh fruit berries. And then you've got this incredible intensity of fruit inside the mouth.
I got the leather.
Isn't that wonderful?
In the nose. Yes. Yeah. I probably wouldn't have caught that if you hadn't said
but
that.
How many years... How many years old is this wine? So 81.
37 years old.
And it's still alive.
Yeah.
You can now still drink it and have fun with it.
Is this available at Fopiano? Or, I mean, are there a few bottles left? Or are you just guys...
there's a little bit stashed around. We're actually in the process
with a special pretty please.
Going through our library and putting some special stuff together that will be sold direct.
Yeah. God bless you for bringing this in. 1981.
That's a beauty.
Gorgeous.
Let me start with Dan Berger. I don't know what to say.
Well, this is one of the reasons why I put them away. It's elegant. It's silky. It doesn't have the high tannins anymore. It's all been resolved. And here's
but it's in no danger of going over the hill either.
No, this is still a young wine in a certain way. It's probably not going to get any better than this, but it's not going to get any worse.
Yeah.
This will be around for 10 more years at least, just like this.
You know, something that's kind of interesting, Dan, I'm seeing more with these older wines is you look at the pHs that these wines were picked at and the acids and the sugars. You know, these weren't overripe fruit. And
no,
I'm seeing
these wines
with that better acid and pH balance. You know, looking at it now, 30 plus years down the road.
We made the wines to be called table wines in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, if you're over 14%, you're technically a dessert wine.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Right. Oh, my God. 1981, 37 years ago.
It still goes.
It still does go. Jeez, man.
And there's some aspects about Petit Sirah that you referenced earlier. You know, Clark Smith is doing some research, but we're discovering that Petit Sirah as a varietal can digest oxygen greater than most any other varietal, which means that...
It's basically bulletproof. It's a variety that has a lot of longevity to it. If you put away a good one, it'll just get better.
It can age for many years in the cellar, but also, once you open a bottle, you could... It could stay open for a day or two and still taste great because it has the ability to digest oxygen without any detrimental effect.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
It's counter life.
Yeah, exactly. And we did that with your 93 the other day. Your 93 is unbelievable wine. And we did that, left it on the counter for a couple of days. It was just better and better.
That was the 100-year anniversary wine.
Yeah, that's
so
fabulous.
This is like nothing I've tasted that I can think of in my little pea brain who needs 5 days off. but it's delicious. 1981 Petit Sirah.
It's still alive. We do have a couple early 90s that we are pouring in the tasting room right now.
All right, I'm getting the one-minute sign here.
Okay.
Rob McNeil and Paul Fopiano from Fopiano Vineyards, Fopiano.com. Of course, Dan Berger, my co-host, and of course, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, who brings you this great segment, award-winning, internationally award-winning segment every week. We'll be back next week with a full crew of people who are coming back from London, hopefully. I can only hope. But I don't know.
With an accent.
Go either way.
Yeah. Jolly good. We're back. Paul Fopiano and Rob McNeil, thanks, guys. Great stuff.
Thank you.
Fopiano.com. Great to see you. And don't be strangers. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm getting five for everyone. Three, two, one.
Goodbye.
Happy New Year.
Adios.